What are gamma oscillations? They are the brain's fastest common rhythm, bursts of synchronized electrical activity at roughly 30-80 hertz, often near 40 hertz. Charles Gray and Wolfsinger discovered in 1989 that neurons in the visual cortex responding to the same object fire together in the gamma band, suggesting synchrony is how the brain binds scattered features into one perception, Gray and Singer, 1989. Gamma is generated by fast-spiking parvalbumin interneurons, proven when optogenetically driving these cells created gamma on demand, Cardin et al., 2009, Sohal et al., 2009. And long-range gamma synchrony tracks conscious perception itself, Maloney et al. 2007. This journal has surveyed the brain's rhythms as a whole, the slow, sweeping waves of sleep, the theta of memory, the alpha of quiet wakefulness. Here we zoom in on the fastest and in some ways, the most mysterious of them, gamma. Slower rhythms tend to organize and gate. Gamma seems to be where the brain does its most precise, moment-to-moment integration. It is the rhythm most tied to attention, to vivid perception, and to the oldest hard question in all of neuroscience, how a kilogram of disconnected cells produces a single, unified stream of consciousness, the binding problem. The deeper you look at the brain, the stranger unified experience becomes. Vision alone is carved into dozens of specialized areas, one map for color, others for orientation, motion, depth, faces. There is no single place where it all comes back together. No inner screen, no final theater where a little observer watches the finished picture. And yet experience is unified. You never see a disembodied redness floating beside a shapeless motion. The features are effortlessly bound to the same object. Philosophers and neuroscientists call this the binding problem, and any theory of consciousness has to solve it. If the parts are processed separately, what glues them into a whole? In 1989, Charles Gray and Wolfsinger in Frankfurt found a clue that would shape three decades of research. Recording from the visual cortex of cats, they discovered that when neurons in different columns responded to the same visual object, a single bar sweeping across their receptive fields, their firing became synchronized, oscillating together in the gamma range near 40 hertz. Neurons responding to different objects did not synchronize. Gray and Singer, 1989. Here was a possible answer to binding written in time rather than space. Features belong to the same object when the neurons encoding them fire together. Synchrony, not location, could be the brain's tag for these things go together. The idea became known as the temporal binding, or binding by synchrony, hypothesis. The 40 hertz hypothesis of consciousness. The idea was electric, and it caught the attention of a scientist who had already solved one of biology's great mysteries. Francis Crick, co-discoverer of the structure of DNA, had turned in his later career to consciousness. With Christoph Koch, he proposed in 1990 that these synchronized gamma oscillations, around 40 hertz, might be the very signature of awareness, the mechanism that selects and binds the contents of a moment into conscious experience. It was one of the first attempts to name a concrete, measurable brain event that could correspond to consciousness itself, and it helped make consciousness a respectable subject for hard neuroscience rather than philosophy alone. The claim was bold, and it invited a sharp test. If gamma synchrony is tied to consciousness, then the same stimulus should trigger it when you are aware of it and fail to when you are not. In 2007, Lucia Maloney, working with Singer and colleagues, ran exactly this experiment. They showed people words at the threshold of visibility, sometimes consciously perceived, sometimes not, while recording the EEG. Both seen and unseen words produced a similar early local gamma response. But only the consciously perceived words triggered a transient, long-range synchronization of gamma across widely separated brain regions, Maloney et al., 2007. The difference between seeing and not seeing was not whether the brain responded, it was whether distant regions briefly beat together. Consciousness in this data looked like large-scale synchrony. UTW psilocybin mushroom treats, where gamma comes from, the parvalbumin pacemaker. For years, binding by synchrony had a weakness. It was correlational. Gamma accompanied perception, but did it cause anything? Or was it just exhaust from busy circuits? Answering that required a way to switch gamma on and off at will, and that arrived with optogenetics, the technique of controlling specific neurons with light. The brain does not generate gamma with its main workhorse cells, the excitatory pyramidal neurons. It generates it with a specific class of inhibitory cell, the fast-spiking, parvalbumin-expressing interneuron PV cell. These cells fire with extraordinary speed and blanket nearby pyramidal neurons with rhythmic inhibition. And it is that rhythmic silencing, a pulse of inhibition, every 25 milliseconds, that carves cortical activity into gamma cycles. In 2009, two landmark studies proved it directly. Jessica Carden, Christopher Moore, and colleagues used light to drive PV interneurons and found that stimulating them selectively amplified gamma, while driving pyramidal cells did not. Carden et al. In 2009. In the same issue of Nature, Vikas Sohal and Carl Dieseroth's team showed the mirror image. Inhibiting PV cells suppressed gamma while activating them summoned it and sharpened the flow of information through the circuit. Sohal et al. 2009. Gamma had a pacemaker, and its name was parvalbumin. This mattered far beyond binding. It gave gamma a precise cellular address and made it a window into disease. Parvalbumin interneurons are among the cells most consistently disrupted in schizophrenia, and gamma abnormalities are one of the more replicated biological findings in the disorder. If the pacemaker of binding falters, the argument goes, the seamless integration of experience may fray. A possible bridge between a molecular deficit and the fragmentation of thought and perception in psychosis. Why 40 hertz? The rhythm of just in time. There is an elegant logic to why the brain would integrate at this particular tempo. A gamma cycle lasts about 25 milliseconds, long enough for signals from distant regions to arrive and be compared, short enough to keep perception fluid and continuous. It creates a series of narrow windows in which neurons that fire together can be read out together, and those that miss the window are treated as separate. Some theorists, notably Pascal Free, have argued that this is how the brain routes information at all. Two regions that oscillate in phase can exchange messages efficiently because each sends its signals precisely when the other is ready to receive them, while regions out of phase are effectively disconnected. Gamma, in this view, is not just a tag for binding, but a mechanism of communication, a way for the brain to open and close channels between areas dynamically, moment to moment. Join the OOTW sacrament. The oldest prayer remembered, the gentle dissolving of the self into light, held in ceremony by a master facilitator. Sit with our community first, a free, live weekly circle on Zoom. No commitment, simply a conversation. What psychedelics do to gamma? If gamma synchrony is close to the machinery of conscious integration, then drugs that transform consciousness should leave fingerprints on it. And they do, though the story is more subtle and more interesting than psychedelics boost gamma. Start with the dissociative ketamine, which blocks the NMDA receptor. Because NMDA receptors on parvalbumin interneurons are essential for those cells to pace the network, Carlin et al. 2012, blocking them disinhibits the cortex and, paradoxically, increases gamma power. This ketamine-induced gamma surge, riding on a breakdown of the normal inhibitory rhythm, is one of the reasons the drug is studied as a model of both psychosis and rapid antidepressant action, a state where gamma is elevated but disordered, coupled to the wrong things. Classic serotonergic psychedelics tell a different story. When Suresh Muthukumaraswamy, Robin Carhart-Harris, and colleagues recorded the brain under psilocybin, they found not a rise but a broadband desynchronization. A drop in oscillatory power across frequency bands, including a reduction in the tight, organized rhythms of the resting brain, Muthukumaraswamy et al. 2013. Rather than cranking up a single rhythm, classic psychedelics appear to loosen the brain's rhythmic scaffolding, letting activity become less predictable and more freely wandering, the same picture this journal has drawn from the angles of criticality and the entropic brain. The unity of ordinary experience, so tied to organized synchrony, softens. The boundaries blur. Put the two together and a theme emerges. Gamma is not a simple consciousness dial you can turn up for more awareness. It is a marker of ordered integration. And both raising it chaotically, ketamine, and loosening the wider rhythmic order, psilocybin, can produce the profound alterations of self and perception these molecules are known for. What consciousness seems to require is not maximal gamma, but gamma in the right relationships, binding the right things at the right time. This connects gamma to the frameworks we have explored in the global workspace and the salience network. Awareness as a matter of coordinated, large-scale communication, rather than raw activity. The honest cautions. The binding by synchrony hypothesis is influential but not universally accepted. Critics have argued that gamma synchrony may sometimes be a consequence of neurons processing the same stimulus rather than the cause of binding, that some perceptual binding occurs without clear gamma signatures, and that a portion of high-frequency gamma recorded from the scalp can be contaminated by tiny eye muscle artifacts, a genuine controversy that forced the field to tighten its methods. Binding almost certainly relies on more than one mechanism, and gamma is one contributor among several, not a lone answer. The link between gamma and consciousness is real and repeatedly observed, but correlation is not identity. Gamma synchrony tracks conscious perception without proving it is consciousness, and rival theories locate awareness in other measures entirely. The psychedelic findings are robust and broad outline. Ketamine tends to raise gamma. Classic psychedelics broadly desynchronize. But the details vary across doses, species, brain regions, and states. And much of the human data comes from small samples. Nothing here is clinical guidance, and psychedelics and dissociatives are controlled substances that are not safe for everyone, with particular risk for people vulnerable to psychosis. The very condition in which gamma and its parvalbumin pacemaker are most disrupted. The music of a moment. Hold the red ball in mind one more time, for you to see it whole, color and shape and motion fused into a single thing you could reach out and catch. Millions of neurons scattered across your cortex have to agree for a few dozen milliseconds to beat together. Consciousness may be less like a picture painted in some central studio and more like music. Not any single note, but the synchrony among them. The fleeting agreement of distant players to sound as one. Gamma is the tempo of that agreement. When it holds, the world arrives seamless and whole. When it scatters, like in psychosis, in dissociation, in the loosening of a psychedelic state, the seams of experience begin quietly to show. Utua Journal is educational and does not provide medical advice. The binding by synchrony hypothesis and the link between gamma oscillations and consciousness are active, debated areas of research, not settled fact, and the effects of psychedelics on brain rhythms are still being mapped. Psychedelics and dissociatives are controlled substances, carry particular risk for people vulnerable to psychosis, and nothing here is a recommendation to use them.